for entrepreneurs like us, you know, we're both podcasters. What are some of the tools and tactics you've learned to build up your business?
Be original. And when I say original, that means narrating your content, your message in a way that's unique and that's different from everybody else.
You got to have good people around you. It's extremely important. Cameraman, somebody that can do AV, somebody that can do social media. If you can't do all those things yourself, you need to work and find somebody that can help you out with that.
Opportunities for black people with AI this year.
It's to build their own. That's the main opportunity. It's not that opportunity. It's going to exist in the future, but not like it is now, where you can be the leader in the space.
So, yo, we're here at the Build Up Dev networking event with EYL for Carabana Monday. Hello and welcome to the Hustle for Everything podcast. This podcast where you receive stories, tips, and tactics for entrepreneurs who have done it. I'm Alex.
And I'm Owen Osinde.
Yo, today is a chill episode. We're here talking, chopping it up about our episode with EYL. And it's going to be a dope one. I'm excited to jump in. Let's get it.
What's up, Al? How you doing, bro? Like,
oh, you know me, sipping the Narai.
What do you do when you have that bottle?
Grab the Narai,
baby. Shout out to Narai. Shout out to Steve Byfield. Guys, if you haven't tried Narai Cellars, it is an amazing wine. They've got a wide assortment of different flavors. Rosé, Merlots. We got the white. 2022 Field Blenders White. You know, goes really well with every kind of meal. But, you know, we've tried them all, man. What's your favorite bottle?
Most definitely. I like the white and the rosé. Those are my two favorites.
White and the rosé.
White and rosé.
Yeah, it's good for this kind of weather.
Most definitely, bro. Exactly. How you doing, though, bro? What's new?
I'm blessed, bro. You know, just grinding, building up office studios.
Yep.
Getting more clients, man. I mean, yeah, it's just good seeing shit happen. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Yes.
When you put in a lot of effort into something and you just continue putting in work and work and work and things start rolling through, it's a blessing, bro. You know, prospecting gods always reward you with opportunities when they see you put in work and you're earnest about it. There's something called I read this from Fanatical Prospecting.
Okay.
This guy, what's his name? Jeb Blunt. He wrote this book and he said there's this thing called Universal Law of Need. Okay. So whenever you need a deal really, really bad, people can feel that from you.
Yeah. So commission breath.
Right, and you're prospecting into the pipe, you know, like the people you've already spoken to. You're trying to like speak to them again. So, man, every time like I even like close a deal, I'm still acting as if like I haven't even closed nothing, you know, because you got to keep that mindset. You know, it's not about what you sell today, bro. It's about what you're selling tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, just to keep it brief, there, man.
But how are you though? You know what I'm saying? You tried to sidestep. I see you.
You see me?
Yeah, of course you got to put the promo in there. But how
about the promo? Man, that's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. Shout out to the Mandem. How am I doing, bro? I'm doing good. You know, I actually got a lot of clarity recently. I've been like thinking about, you know, even like talking about the wine and everything. I'm like maybe cutting off the drinks because I notice like every single weekend I'm always drinking. You know, and then I wake up like maybe Sunday morning and I've wasted the entire day. I've been eating healthier, working out, just trying to take care of my body, bro. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's so easy just to be caught up in the summer way of doing things and just like partying, drinking, vibes all the time. You kind of lose, well, when do you have time to think? So now that I'm like in this period, I'm like actually thinking more and actually taking the days by stride. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's good to hear, bro.
Being healthier. Sleeping better. Going to bed at 11. Not scrolling TikTok. Man, that shit's addictive.
TikTok is addictive. Yeah, that's a fact. It's going to be a doc on how addictive TikTok
bro.
Is in the future.
And they know my algorithm. They know I like my conspiracy shit. They know I like my MBA. They know I like my motivational, spiritual. Golf. Yeah, bro. I'm so bombarded with so much good content. Like, by the time I realize, it's already an hour past. Yeah. How about you, Al?
I'm good, man. I went to get a haircut the other day. Yo, take it in. Bailey.
Shout out to Bales,
shout
man.
Shout out to Bailey. Shout out to Rock the House. We start talking about the podcast.
I got a story for you about rock, actually, after this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. And we're there, and tell me how, all right, yo, have you listened to any of the pods? And he's like, yeah, I listened to it. And he's like, what's it like? And tell me what he, you'll never guess what he says. My guy's like, you know, it's like riding a Honda Civic.
Are you serious?
It's like
riding a Honda Civic, bro.
It's like it's standard. It's you know, reliable. It's like a Honda Civic. Mm. Bro, I was hurt. I was like, fam, what are you talking about?
So when the Toyota Camrys of podcasts.
Toyota Camrys is what he said. And I was like, damn, that's how you feel?
We're a Sienna.
You know, I was like, damn, bro, that's how you feel.
Minivan life, baby.
But you know what? I'm happy you said that, you know, because I love when people can be honest with how they feel and not let sugarcoat it and be like, you know what? I love what you're doing. It's a good cause. Yeah, bro. Keep doing it. You know, I'd rather someone say, nah, champ, this is shit for XYZ reason. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So be like, oh, I have the information now. I can go and act on it.
Yes.
That's what I need, you know? So, yeah, bro, that was
dope. How fast did you want to get up that chair after you heard that?
Nah, I want to sit down. You I want to sit keep, down, eh? Keep there. All right, exactly what do you mean? How can we make it better? You know, and he broke it down sequentially for me. And I was like, all right, that's what I need. I love when people give criticism.
You love tough love.
I love tough love. I hate that you're doing great, sweetie. Mm-hmm. Hate that shit.
Man, like, for example, like some of the clips, I show them to someone. They're like, yeah, it's good. Actually, I gotta tell you something off camera, but I'm like, I can sense there's something there.
Oh, you trying to tell some talent about the pod?
Not some talent, but just like some people that we worked with. I'm making clips for them. I'm like, I said one thing. I was like, you know what? The next time around, it's gonna be even better. It's like, yeah. Like, I want them to be even better. And that to me just told me that you might have not been satisfied with the first round of clips that we did. So. And I'm the same way, bro. That's why I loved tough coaching growing up. In football, basketball, I like guys who want to just push me and like want to see greatness out of me. And they don't care about my feelings. You know? It's like that tough love, bro. Because they expect, demand greatness and excellence.
What was the worst like grind into your coach ever did?
Man, there's one time I think... It wasn't to me, but it was to...
I got to be to you. To like, me? To where it hurt you.
Oh, man. I mean, it was, like, embarrassing. So, we're playing in the semifinals to go to the finals. So, this is, like, county finals. Like, so, this is about, like, maybe 12 schools in Sarnia. We're playing St. Pat's, right? This is to go to... And city championships in Sarnia is a huge deal. So, you know what I was trying to do? Like, I got the ball, like, so we're going down transition and I'm trailing. So, like, when the ball's trailing, the guy who is on the wing, he passes it back to me. As soon as I pass half court, I stop between half court and, like, 3 feet behind the three-point line. And, like, bro, like, we just got into the play, right? And this is, like, the heat of the moment. I take, a deep, deep three. And this point, bro, my legs are tired. They're done. But... being the shooter I am, I'm thinking, bro, this is like a straight line three. You know, like the easiest three is like the one, the top of the key threes, because you can properly align yourself. You know the distance. You know the math, bro. I'm like, man, get some good spin on that. And like, I can turn back like Steph Curry. I mean, I was never going to do that. I actually don't have the balls to do that in a game. But I knew I could make that three. Bro, tell you what. I shoot the three. I air ball the three. I airballed, bro, and the gym was packed, bro. Like, all the finest girls in school, all the crushes, all the pen girls you could think of, like, are showing up to that game from both schools. So they're coming to watch you play. And St. Pat's crowd was notorious, bro. Like, they would taunt you during games, they would do anything. Bro, I shoot the three, airball, crowd starts yelling airball at me. Airball, bro, and you know, like, you know, they're doing, they're pointing at airball, airball. They're like, it's like a Duke game, bro. Like, you know, like the Duke fans are like mad, like just intense. Airball, bro. My mom, my sisters were there, bro. And the one few games my mom shows up, she shows up to this game because like she was free to come. Mm-hmm. So my sisters are there, bro. They're watching their son, their brother just like get yelled at. Timeout. Coach pulls me back in. He's like, Jose, what are you doing? What are you doing? Bro, he gets in my face. You're shooting a three. We just got in the play. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Bro, my feelings were so hurt. Like, legit, like, my confidence was shattered that whole match, that whole game. And, bro, to make it worse, I'll admit this on camera, bro. And we lost the game. So I come back home. I'm thinking about, like, I still got my coach in my ear. I'm still hearing air ball. I go downstairs, man. Like, bro, I wanted to cry in the car, but I was saving it when I'm, like, in my own room. Like, no one can hear me. So I get downstairs. And I'm sitting on my bed. It's, like, super cheesed. So my mom already had food made before, like, she came to the game. So dinner's already ready. So my mom's calling me, Owen, come and eat. You know, like, because I was staying in the basement. Like, my room was in the basement. So my sister knocks on the door. It's like, yo, bro, like, dinner's ready. Like, so she hears like a little tremor in my voice. It's like, I'll be there. So my sister walks in, right? And I'm trying to hold it in, right? It's like, bro. She's like, my sister Dan is like, bro, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm good. And then it's like, yo, she comes like, bro, like, your eyes don't look like they're okay, bro. And then I just let it out, bro. It's like, I can't believe that game. I can't believe we lost. I airballed a three, and we lost the game. And it's like, Doc, I'm expecting. Bro, at this point, Doc, I haven't even showered. I haven't even taken off my warm-ups or nothing. And I'm expecting my sister to have sympathy because, like, she's my sister. It's like, bro, it's okay. Bro, it's okay. Yo, my sister, this one I knew she was a real one. It's like, yo, bro, shut the hell up. Why are you crying? You know, it's like one of those, like, that African clips. Like, why are you running? Why are you running? She was like, why are you crying, bro? Yo, bro, it's just an air ball. It's just a three. Yeah. And, bro, like, I just, like, wiped my tears away. Bro, if my mom saw me crying, that's what I knew she'd be, like, she would, like, give. My mom was, like, a quick tongue on her. Mm-hmm. She'll, like, rip you a new one. So my sister just talked some sense into me, man. But I got it worse that night, bro. The crowd and my coach, man.
And your sister.
And my sister.
Ah, that's hilarious, bro. I'm so happy I asked you that.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. Damn, dog.
Bruh.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's definitely a clip.
Oh, bro. And the thing is, bro, I work on my game so much. So to miss it at the big moments, I was just going to like, why do I wake up in the morning, come in this gym at 6 to put up threes? Mm-hmm. And the biggest moments, I'm not clutch. Right, that's when I knew I don't have a career in ball, bro.
That was when you have it up? I was
like, I'm done. That was it? Because, yo, bro, that was the moment. That was like grade 10. I thought, I was like, man, I might go to like 6'3 or whatever. Like, I can play college. And right then and there, I knew I did not have it.
Damn.
I knew I did not have it. Bro, there's some guys who, like, they just look at them. You just see them, like, do one move. They have it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be good. Mm-hmm. I just knew, I was like, man, as much as hard as I put in, I wasn't built for that. I wasn't built for hoops, bro.
This ain't the path.
Yeah, this ain't it, bro. It's humbling. Humbling experience.
Damn. Nah, thank you for sharing that, my guy. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Coaches can be tough, you know? But I applaud you for taking the shot, though.
Oh, bro, you got to have the guts, the cojones to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. On my end, I'll never forget, in grade 6, I was so weak.
So you didn't have the broad shoulders?
Nah.
They hadn't emerged yet.
And I was in like a tryout for soccer. Soccer's my sport, right? Mm-hmm. And bro, honestly, my shit don't compare to yours at all. No. I'm gonna keep it a buck. I'm gonna start planning this out. I'm like, this ain't coming anywhere close. It's still bad, but it ain't half as bad.
Yeah.
You know, for me, dog, I couldn't do push-ups at all. I couldn't do...
Were you doing girl push-ups?
No.
Not even girl push-ups.
I couldn't do anything.
Jeez.
I was so weak as a kid. So now I was like, all right, that's what kind of made me get into the gym. So I was so weak that the coach was like, all right, everybody do push-ups. And I couldn't do three. I couldn't do three push-ups.
So your hands were like, your arms were trembling.
My arms were trembling. They're exactly. going to snap. Exactly. So the way it was happening at Marvin Rec Center, we're doing like massive tryouts where like we're seeing where everybody could be and like putting kids in the right direction of like, well, all right, you are good here, you're good there, you're good here, you know? And I was like an amazing forward, but then because I couldn't do push-ups, they're like, nah, you sit down until you do it, till you finish your push-ups. And then I ended up being goalie. And I was like, damn, bro. But I was sitting there for like 25 minutes.
Trying to do three push-ups.
And then the coach would come to me and like do a circuit. So he'd come to me and like, all right, do three. Can't do a thing? All right, stay there. Do a circuit around everybody else and come back. All right, do a three now. Yeah. You still can't do a three?
Wow, he's like mocking you, taunting.
He's like, dang, you still can't do a three? Jeez, I'm ready. Yo, and then walk on and do another circuit and like, three, do a trick. You can't. And
it was a Jamaican coach.
Oh, yeah, for sure, it was a Jamaican coach.
Man, if a coach tried to do that now like at a grade six level, like it's like a straight cancellation.
Yeah, there's that. And then the other one was because I'm lactose intolerant, right? Mm. But when I used to get nervous before games. So
it's a nervous shit,
see? I had the nervous shits, bro. So I got to a point where like it was like standard throughout the team. Mm. So there was for the pregame shit. So there'd be a point where like the coach would be like, all right, Nigel, and go center back. Devinder, center forward. Alex, go shit.
Drop it like it's hot, man.
Then go in the goal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that was embarrassing as hell. So that's mine. But yeah, it doesn't pale in comparison. Oh, you know man. What I'm saying?
I think the magnitude of like it being to go to city finals.
Yeah.
And then do that and then get like just yelled at.
That's tough, bro.
Bruh.
That's tough.
That's tough, bro.
Damn. I'm trying to think if I have anything similar to that, bro. I honestly don't think I do, man.
You know, bro, that game was like a big regret, not just to me, but my boys as well, because we went to my boy Logan's crib like right after school because we're like, yo, we can like drive there together. It threw our entire rhythm off. We go to like Logan's crib. We're playing FIFA.
Yeah.
We're like drinking shit. And then
there's a stench in the air.
There's a stench in the air.
Don't kill me. The air ball follows you like a fart.
Yo, like that, like it threw our entire like routine off. Like we were not supposed to go to his crib after, but just because he lives nearby, we're like, yo, the game's at 7. Like school's already done. Let's just go chill and like bond and get some camaraderie going.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad idea, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, bro.
You know? And it's funny, bro. Like high school hoops, man, it never leaves the chat. Like I think amongst my boys from Sarnia,
yeah,
even when we're 40. 45, whatever. We'll talk about OFSA finals because we lost in the finals and we could have beat Smith Falls, bro. But I never want to be that guy. It's like, man, remember like back in high school, bro?
You know, but bruh,
that was an OFSA championship on the line. Bro, you know what? Like OFSA champion, you're a legend forever. Mm-hmm. Like you can say, I reached the pinnacle of high school hoops in Ontario.
Yup.
And like this guy, Vince Dufour, great player, went to play in Queens. Like great, great player. Just ate our lunch that day.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Now I know those ones, bro. Cause when I was playing soccer, just making it to the OASL was like the shit for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that game, like I've never felt like a championship like game till that game.
Yeah.
Like, bro, when I tell you the saves I was making. Like, I mean, like,
it was out of this world.
Bro.
Like, you're diving and you're just connecting. Everything. The glove just boom, boom, boom.
Catching balls. Pause. Because okay. I'll be watching soccer now and I see everybody just hitting. Mm-hmm. And no one ever catches in soccer nowadays.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I was catching the soccer ball.
So this is peak athletic Al.
Bro, peak athletic.
Ripped like, body, like, everything, abs.
Now, I wouldn't say all that, but actually, you know what's funny though? When you're in shape, sometimes you don't have a nice body.
Mm.
Like, you don't have to be muscular to have a nice body. At my fittest point, I wasn't like chiseled or anything like that, because I was just more like running.
You're an athlete.
Athlete, you know what I'm saying? Like, like, so that was that. And then, bro, they had me diving on the ground like consistently. Bro, I was like the bed, like, bro, indoor soccer, diving on a gym floor.
Yes.
Yo, is, you know, I used to have mad burns on my knees.
Jeez.
Like crazy. So by the time I went outside and diving on like on grass,
it felt like a mattress.
Oh my God.
It felt like different.
Nothing.
Nothing. Eh?
Nothing. You know what I'm saying? Let's go.
You're looking like, you're looking at it like you're like Gianluigi Buffon, bro.
Yes, bro. I don't know who that is.
He's an Italian goalie.
Okay.
Bro, played like for 20 years or something.
Okay.
Like for Juventus.
Yeah. Juventus. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah. Hall of Fame goalie.
Hall of Fame goalie.
Hall of Famer.
All right. But, yeah, man. And then we made it to officer that time. And, bro, that was one of those moments. Like, it's funny because after that, the team just, like, started to disintegrate. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, all right, we made it to bro, OSL.
That's like, okay. That's like to people, like, who never have a future in hoops or soccer, you live forever.
Yeah.
With that championship.
Yeah.
Like, that is your making it to the league moment.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't make it, but I got that chip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Damn, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck.
We made it to the officer ice tournament. That's something, you know, you're not getting what I'm saying. Because I'm saying.
Oh, you just got in the tournament. Oh, my God. I'm talking about we're in the finals.
Yeah. We didn't make it all that.
Oh, my God.
We made it to the league. You're like, yo, we're in officer. We're in OASL.
You're just,
baby.
I'm happy to be here moment.
I'm happy to be here.
Ah, you gotta seize the moment, bro.
We did, bro. The way we celebrated.
Did you even win one game?
I think we won a few games.
We won
a few games. But we didn't win that league, though.
Okay.
After that, like, we got dispersed. Then a Jamaican team came.
Just and took they over.
Destroyed us. It was so bad. Like, our parents was like, see, that's what they had for eating McDonald's. Like, it was hilarious, bro.
I tell you, we've got food at home and you don't listen.
Exactly. You have to eat yam and banana.
Yeah.
You have to eat pure McDonald's, pure burger. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were going crazy on us. Like, see what they have to do. They went crazy on us, bro. That was my worst game.
Yeah?
You know? They were going crazy on us.
But collectively, bro, like, when you hear we've got food at home, man, it's the worst thing you could ever absolutely. Hear as a kid.
Absolutely.
I've got food at home.
Absolutely.
And you
bro.
Know, it's like some, like, it's like your culture food, bro. Like, for me, it's like the ugali in the fridge. It's like the, you know, it's like food that's been there for like a day or two. And after church, you're coming, you're like, man, like, I want McDonald's. I want nuggets.
Yeah.
And you know, your mom's going to heat that shit up that she made like on Friday.
Mm-hmm. From 3 days past. You're looking at it. It's looking at you.
Bro, you don't even
looking
taste,
back
you,
at it.
You don't even taste the food. You're just like inhaling it just so you can fill up your stomach.
Yeah. I feel that, bro. I feel that. I've had plenty of those, you know. So, yeah. My mom's a health inspector. So, like, the food was never like, it's like, I call it Jafakin because it had like a
Jafakin?
Little. It was like a little bit of Jamaican, but it wasn't. It was like jerk chicken cooked in the oven. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't the real thing, because she was so ingrained in health culture that, like, in order to make it the real, she wasn't going all the way with it. You know what I'm saying? So I had a lot of green smoothies.
Did you guys use like a microwave? I know, like, microwaves to health inspectors, that's like
haram.
Yeah. Like the radioactiveness of that.
Yeah, so we rarely use microwaves. It's a weird life eating as a health inspector's kid, because like she come home and be like, tomatoes, don't eat tomatoes for the next month. You're like, what? You know, because there's a breakout in tomatoes or something.
Damn.
Like that. But hey, they don't want to hear all that.
No,
they
want to hear about that.
Yeah, they don't hear about that. So, yo, let's get into our interview with EYL. Wow. For entrepreneurs like us, you know, we're both podcasters. What are some of the tools and tactics you've learned to build up your business?
Be original. And when I say original, that means narrating your content, your message in a way that's unique and that's different from everybody else. Number two, being extremely consistent. Even when you don't want to, knowing that the mission, the message, the vision is bigger than you, and it's bigger than what you can imagine in the present moment. I always used to say, like, if we can get one listener a day, I'd be satisfied. And so we still have that same mindset. If we can get one new listener a day, even at this level where, you know, there's millions of people listening, if we can get one more, because that one more listener can hear the information that can change their lives. And you can't discount that. And we never take that for granted. So we still have that same mind stance. Why we're so super consistent. And then double down, man. Double down. Well, our motto used to be, and we took that from Nip, is all money in. So any money we got was to help improve our deliverance, which was the audio, which was the visual, and which live events. And so we try to get as good as possible so that our presentation to our audience is something that's going to be remembered. Because we're not looking at this like, hey, we come to do a networking event in Toronto. We're like, no, somebody's going to document this as a piece of history.
Yeah.
They talk about the health and the financial wellness of our community inside the city of Toronto. So we take it very intentional, and we make sure that it's curated in a way that'll last forever.
I have a quick Toronto quiz for you.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Toronto slang word?
Now, look, when I came here in 2000, well, I've been here a couple times in the 90s, and I came back in the 2000s. I bought this t-shirt that said Toronto A or Canada A. I know y'all hate A.
A?
I know you had A.
It's like Nya A. You gotta have a Nya A in front of it.
Yeah, what's my favorite one? I like cheese.
Cheese!
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 Yeah. I like, that's one of them things. And I mean, I'm West Indian, so it all comes, it feels like it's patois.
Yeah.
Like when I hear these guys talk like the Mandem and
the Mandem.
Gun them off and all these things, I'm like, okay, he's from Africa, but okay.
Yes.
That's all low.
But yo, when I was watching the Breakfast Club interview,
yeah,
you came up with the name Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah.
Like you told Rashad, let's call it Earn Your Leisure. I'm curious, what other names were you playing around with at the time? The options you had to name the brand that you're about to start?
Yeah, so at the time I wasn't thinking big brand, I was just thinking the name of a show. My title for the show was Dumb Rappers Need Teaching.
Dumb Rappers Need Teaching.
Yeah.
Okay, all
right. It was a Biggie line. It was one of my favorite Biggie lines. I just like the double entendre of the word dumb and level of intelligence and the amount of people need teaching.
Yeah.
And then Shaggy was like, yeah, but we just don't want to be talking to rappers. And so his thing was money, power, respect. And then I was like, that's dope, but
I think a little cliche.
Like, I'm thinking, yeah, a little cliche, but I think Puff, like, that was on the Lox album when they were on Bad Boy. Yeah. And that was a Biggie line. So I'm sure Puff would have an issue with this. And so at the time I had Earn Your Leisure in the tuck because he was creating a campaign for himself on social media and he needed a hashtag. And I was like, perfect. The hashtag is going to be Earn Your Leisure. He hated it at first. It was using it and people thought it was like a travel page.
Yeah.
It was like Earn Your Leisure. So they started using it in their hashtags. And then when it came out to create the show, it was something that was ours. It was original. We trademarked it. It was something that we could use. And so that's what it became. And the rest is history now.
What was that first episode, as you reflect, that was like, that was the moment where things started rolling for us?
I think the first episode.
First episode.
Yeah, so that's the most important thing. It's like when people, like, how do I do it? We tell them, start. You'll figure some stuff out. Like, we're flying a plane and we're building a plane at the same time. But the most important is the plane's in the air.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so we learned a lot from that pilot episode. And we got better for the second one. Got better for the third. Got better for the fifth. By the sixth episode, we started putting it on YouTube. So now it wasn't just an audio experience. It was a visual experience. That's why when a gentleman asked me today about his podcast, I'm like, no, you got a show. Why is it a show? Well, there's a visual component. We think podcast, that's an audio experience. But we have a visual experience. So it's not just that. So it's a show. So we learned it from right away. And then probably around the 10th or 11th episode, social media started catching on. I mean, they knew what was happening, but some of the clips from those episodes started going really viral. And then it was like, who are these guys? Where do they come from? How did they get this message? Oh, we gotta lock in with them. And then, you know, again, once we started doing that added value, it was like, wait, this is a business.
Yeah.
We gotta create systems and structure to make sure that we're answering all those questions when it comes to how we're gonna be running these things and how we're gonna grow, how we're gonna scale. And we were able to do that, fortunately.
It's inspiring, man.
So one thing you just said is that you went from having the business being called Money, Power, Respect, referencing Diddy, to having Diddy at InvestFest.
Crazy.
It's crazy. So for anybody in Toronto thinking about going to InvestFest, why should they come?
I mean, that's a great reason. Diddy will be there and he's got a lot of stuff that he wants to talk about, not from an entertainment standpoint, but from the business part of some of the things he's been involved in. Robert S. Smith. I mean, the people there are going to be important. A bunch of billionaires, too many millionaires to count. But the more important is the like-minded
people that would be in attendance who will have the next great business idea that might spark something in you, might be a business partner. All these things are happening inside of one place. And for so long, when we thought about conferences and summits, they didn't have any like feel to it, right? This is a festival, but it's about our culture. And so I think it's gonna be a life-changing event for everybody that's in attendance. I'm looking forward to people seeing it and just really taking advantage of this opportunity, right? Like that person next to you, like I said, could change your life. And, you know, even settings like this where you're in a room with like-minded people, right? You never know who you're standing next to. So I want people to take advantage of that. I want them to enjoy themselves. And of course, I want them to learn. I think you're gonna get all those things inside of one. And of course, you're gonna be entertained.
Yeah, man.
We're pretty good at that. So it's going to be a microcosm of all those things, and hopefully people take advantage of it.
Definitely. Can we send you a bottle of Nurai? Do you know what Nurai Sellers is?
I don't, but we'll take a bottle.
Yeah, Nurai Sellers is one of the only
black-owned wines in Canada.
Oh, perfect.
You know what I'm saying? So we'll have to send you a bottle.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I will crack it open, and I will cheers to y'all.
You got
to
have good people around you. Extremely important. Cameraman, somebody that can do AV, somebody that can do social media. If you can't do all those things yourself, you need to work and find somebody that can help you out with that. So media, I mean, that's all. Tech side is extremely important. So you got to have good people around you that can execute.
What was the breaking point for Indonesia?
The breaking point for us?
Kyle.
The pandemic really helped us accelerate. That was something that, you know, a lot of people was home, not a lot to do, and they had time to really just lock in. So that was something that really took us to another level.
Nice. What are some things that you're doing to continue growing the platform? I mean, you've reached a mass scale right now. What do you think you need to do to get to the next level as a media company?
I think that we just have to keep reaching more people.
More people?
New audiences. People that still are not familiar with us, domestically and globally.
Yeah,
that's important. Yeah,
that's important. Amazing.
All right, working towards wrapping up. If you were to start again, what were some of the tips you'd use that you've learned now back then?
Just start. Really, honestly, that's the most important thing. I think a lot of times we just procrastinate. Even me, like waited. So, most important thing is just to get going.
Do you think the media space is too saturated?
The music business?
The media space.
I mean, you know, everything is saturated. I think if you can provide value, there's never any saturation. But, yeah, there's a lot of people doing it, which makes the need for creativity even more.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see the Toronto media space? You know, now that you're here, you've soaked up the culture, you know, seen other fine women. What are some of the things you see are open areas in the marketplace for Toronto?
I think there's a lot of open areas, honestly, as far as what we do. On the financial literacy side, education, there's people doing it, but not at scale, not like America. So I think that's a huge opportunity for sure. And everything else, honestly, I feel like whatever you are thinking about doing is probably not a lot of people doing it relatively to like America, where everybody's doing everything. So definitely.
Last question, man. I know you've been to Africa a couple times. What did you see there that impressed you the most in the places you visited?
We went to Nigeria and we went to Egypt.
So,
Nigeria was dope. The people was very welcoming. We made a lot of great relationships. So that was encouraging. And, like, they was familiar with us out there. Got a following out there, actually. So just to know that they tapped in to what we got going on out there, that's just really encouraging for sure.
Yeah, you got to go to Kenya next, man.
Yeah.
That's where I'm from.
All right. Put it on the list.
I'm waiting for you, man.
Put it on the list. Opportunities for black people with AI this year.
It's to build their own. That's the main opportunity. It's not that opportunity. It's going to exist in the future, but not like it is now where you can be the leader in the space. You know what I mean? So the main opportunity is being, you know, one of the producers and controllers rather than just the consumers, right? So getting in on the ownership side right now is the key, like creating softwares. Go look at the sellers and the easiest blueprint. Look at the ones that are successful. They're not the biggest billion-dollar brands. You know what I'm saying? You can take that same template, but maybe you have a larger influence, or maybe you have a better way of marketing or putting it out there. You know what I mean? Create your own. The same tools that you like, other people will like. Just own them. The biggest opportunity is ownership right now. It's only so many times you know, in history that a new industry like this pops up and it's open source where anybody can be the leader. Just depends who want to lead.
Mm. Yeah. You recently went to Africa. You said it changed your perspective on things. How did it change your perspective when you came back to the States?
Just globalized it. You know, it's a lot. That's why we did a 4-hour conversation about this. But you just realize how niched our perspectives is in America. You realize how much at war we always are. The aggressiveness that we always have. We're constantly triggered, right? It's constant trauma. And Ghana was the most peaceful place that I visited on earth when I went there. And I'm saying that based on my personal experience, how peaceful I felt, the rest, the calmness, the joy that I felt. And I've traveled many different places, even throughout Africa. So the energy was different, and we can learn a lot from that because there's a level of wealth in Ghana, not from a material standpoint, not from a cars and clothes and things of that nature, but from a spiritual standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's rich people out here that don't know joy. They don't know peace. They have stress, anxiety, depression, and worries all day long. So that mindset of that child that smiles in Africa that has nothing, if you can obtain that level of wealth, right, then you are great. You already starting off successful. And anything you obtain and build around that, man, it doubles your wealth. Otherwise, being depressed, having anxiety, right, being all of those things, those are liabilities. And this is why a person will have to spend half of their wealth or all of it just to feel something. So if you start from a place of joy, you already have more than those you think who have more than you.
The hustle is what you can't control. So control your grind and control your life. I'm Alex.
And I'm Owen Osinde.
This podcast is brought to you by Lather. Lather is a men's grooming line focused on using natural ingredients along with their Invincible line. I highly suggest it. It makes you smell damn good. All right, we're back.
Yes, yes, Al.
So, yo, how'd you find the event, bro? Talk to me.
How'd I find the event, man? I'll keep it. Like, I'll be honest with the event.
Hold on. Wait, sorry. The way we did that was off. Yeah.
Yeah. Then go, how was it?
Okay.
Yeah. So, for context, you know, we arrived at an event with the M5V Development X EYL networking event. You know, so that's where we met them. That's where we got to chat and chop it up with them. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of it, bro?
Yeah, I mean, Earn Your Leisure, they built like an amazing platform. Mm-hmm. So these guys are. They're megastars within the media industry, especially podcasting.
Yeah.
So the event is happening here in Toronto. So they came here during Caravana weekend. They're having a free event at here on Berkeley Street. So there's an event space here in Toronto, like on Berkeley. Really, really nice space. And it's free because they realized that Toronto loves Earn Your Leisure. Like when they came here earlier this year, we came out in droves. You know, we came out to like all the sold out. We didn't go to the sold out events, but we were there for the after party, but they got a lot of love here. Mm-hmm. So Caravana, they're coming back. They're like, let's give Canada something because they show us love. Let's show them love. So they throw this free quote unquote networking event. So you were arriving there late, right? Because you had to link up with your cousin, I believe.
Yeah. My cousin was going to Alberta. So I had to link up with him for like one of the last times I got to chat. So I was like, there's no way I'm going to miss hanging out with you to the chop it up before you go, because I haven't seen him in ages.
Exactly. You know, right? So, a little last hurrah. Mm-hmm. So we get there. I walk there because it's like 15 minutes from where I stay. And I get there. Kyle shows up, our guy Kyle.
Shout out Kyle.
By the way, if you haven't listened to the Cyber AI episode, like it's like in the collision, you love Kyle, what he has to offer. So we get there. It's a lineup, right? It's a lineup to get in. We're waiting. I'm like, no, like this is a networking event. Like why is there a lineup inside? Like, this is not a club. Like who lines up like this for a networking event? Mm-hmm. We stand outside for 20 minutes waiting to get in. We wait. I'm mingling on the line. I'm meeting people. Like I'm just shaking hands and everything. So we get there finally. Once we get in there, bro, Kyle shows up. So we walk in together. The music is loud, bro. Loud. You're seeing people drinking. There's like, this is when I knew these guys. I was like, what the hell? Why are you sectioning off different places? You know, like in a club, like how you have like a booth. Mm-hmm. So you have the VIPs in like this booth area with like an ice bucket with like drinks in it. and they're like suited and booted up. So you walk in to the left, it's like that. To the right, it's the same thing too. You walk in, everybody's like chit-chatting. But the DJ, he's playing music so loud where you think this is like a club event. It's like a day party type of thing. So this is like on a Monday. And the music is playing. It's like dance hall music and everything. I'm like, okay, I get this is like, you know, it's a, the culture is here. But if we're networking, can you maybe tone down the music so we can actually talk? Mm-hmm. So I look at Kyle. Kyle is like, bro, what kind of networking is going on here? Because everyone's getting faded. Everyone's like dancing. Everyone's whatever. So I look at Kyle. Kyle is there with his cyber AI notebook. He's like business card and everything. So he doesn't even get a chance to do his thing. Mm-hmm. So bro, everyone I'm talking to, like I'm all up in their ear, yelling, trying to get a conversation going. And at this time, the Earn Your Leisure guys haven't even arrived yet. So we're in there for about 45 minutes until these guys pull up. And this is like when you start lining up outside with Courtney. So they come in, 19, Troy, Rashad, Priscilla, they do their speech. They're talking for like 40 minutes. And the people who arrive late like you, you guys are stuck outside, bro.
Yeah.
Waiting. Mm-hmm. It's like where you tell your part, bro. Like, how is it like waiting outside?
I've never felt more like a waste man waiting outside for 40 minutes to hear another person talk.
It's like waiting for, you know, like those guys who wait outside for like free food, like free pizza.
Yeah, like outside Mandarin on July 1st.
Yeah. For like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yo, oh my days.
And like, free think, slice of pizza.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, the slice of pizza. Oh my God, that was bad too. Yeah. Oh my days, bro. Yeah, I felt like such a waste dude in that line. But hey, you know, I think it's probably a logistical issue. Mm-hmm. That happens sometimes.
It does.
I got to shoot them a little bit of bail. But I think the issue that happens is for an event, you want to hire someone that can curate the vibe. And they went to hire a DJ that's meant for clubs for a networking event.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's where there was a disconnect because, like, everyone's there. They like the vibe, but it's, yo, it's too loud. I'm trying to talk. Like I'm, like you said, like you're yelling in people's ear.
Yeah, I'm there to promote our business and everything. I'm trying to like make contacts and
yeah.
I'm all up in like some woman's face and it just like, bro, the optics, if you're standing there looking at how I'm talking to her,
yeah,
it looks like I'm trying to chop. Mm-hmm. And that's not a networking kind of optics you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely, bro. Standing that line, I was looking.
And Courtney was cheese too.
Yeah, like, me and Courtney were both standing there cheese like pouting.
Pouting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know when you want to stamp your foot? Like, I'm never coming back here. Yeah, we were cheesed at first. I won't even lie. We were cheesed at first.
His mood was messed. Yeah, like, he had to leave.
Yeah, I saw people leaving too, you know, but it was a lesson, you know, and I think they probably spotted that, you know, to shoot them a little bit of bail. I think they spotted that it was an issue, and then after had people come outside so they can properly network, and that's where we got the chance to speak with everybody.
Speak to everybody, man. Yeah, that outside scenery, man, was the best because
that was the best.
The weather was like nice and cool.
Yeah.
These guys were accessible.
Yep.
Gave us a chance to interview them.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, man? Like, when Isaac and I, Isaac is a video team in the back. Shout out to IX for the video. We went to the after party.
Yeah.
To Hotel
X. Yeah, tell me about that because I couldn't reach. What was I doing? I think I was coming back from Jamaica or something like that.
I think I was sick.
Something like, I can't
you're
remember.
Sick. You're sick. Sick. You're sick. And you gave Isaac the ticket.
The ticket. Yeah. I was sick.
So we go there, like chill event, and same thing. Troy, Rashad, 19, accessible. Accessible, like right the way you're sitting beside me, like boom, like that. So it's at the end of the night, and I finally get the courage to go and talk to these guys and be like trying to get an interview, right? Mm-hmm. That was my intention of trying to have a conversation. So Isaac's like, bruh, like these guys are faded, like it's not the right time, da, da, da. I'm like, nah, man, like we got to do something. So Isaac's like, nah, man, I do something. Courtney comes up to me. He's like, yeah, bro, you got to do something. So I go to 19. And I'm like, yo, 19, what's up, man? So he's in the corner. So, like, there's no one around him but him and his manager. He's like, yo, man, we're trying to, like, get you on the pod and everything. It's 24/7 Hustler. He's like, yeah, man, we saw you guys. Like, you guys reached out and everything.
I'm like, yeah. He's like, yo, listen, you know, we got something with Director X tomorrow. Then we got to fly out. I'm like, all right. Well, listen, yo, talk to my man over here. He's going to sort you out. When we come back, we're definitely doing a pod. So, you know, they're looking at the page and everything. They're like, I'm thinking, yo, this guy, he's recognizing who I am at the time. That's done. I'm like, all right, cool. I got cordial with 19. Now, the whole joint is shutting down. So now Rashad is walking out, and I'm standing with Courtney. So Rashad is just like kind of there, whatever. Courtney opens it up. He's like, yo, these guys right here, these guys are up next, bro. You heard of Hustle Over Everything? He's like, nah, man, what is that? What is that? Courtney like teased it up to me. I pitched Rashad. Rashad's like, yo, let me follow you guys, bro. Like, how many episodes you got? And he starts chopping out, whatever. Follows us. That's why the next morning you saw him follow our page. Mm-hmm. So now, this time around, I'm like, okay, these guys are back. It's daylight. They're going to remember me. They're gonna be like, yo, hustle.
I was saving this story to tell you, Isaac.
You know?
go ahead.
Hustle over everything. Da-da-da-da-da. So I'm like, I tell Al. I was like, yo, man, I'm just going to introduce myself. They're going to know me. I'm going to introduce you.
And what did I say?
I can't remember. What did you say?
I said, no, they're not.
But you know me.
But you know, he's like, bro, no, nah, they're going to remember me, bro.
They're going to remember me, bro. Trust me. So the first instance where I felt curved beyond belief, bro, was when Rashad was walking by. I was like, yo, Rashad, right? And then I was like, yo, hustle over everything, right? I was just like, hustle over everything. And then Rashad looks over, was like, yeah, hustle over everything. And I think what he's thinking is that I'm telling him hustle over everything, but he's not thinking about the brand. So I'm like, bro, this guy hear what I said? All right, boom, I'm going to go hit him up again. I was like, yo, Rashad, it's me, Owen, from Hustle Over Everything. He looks at me, his face looks like, yeah. And bro, he just did not remember who I was, right?
Nah, so, you're not telling the story right.
Nah, that's what happened.
Nah, you know you're not. Right. Hold on.
Is this like the TI again, bro?
Nah, you're not telling the story right at all. All right, so listen, y'all.
How long have you been holding this story?
I've been holding this like, the whole time.
Because like, now you're about to tell Isaac.
I was queued up. Because Isaac, you haven't heard this part yet. Because we talked about TI before, right? All right, so man, so... Check it. So, Rashad's about to come by, and I'm like, yo, Owen,
bruh,
he's not gonna remember you.
Why didn't you even tell me this the next day, bro? you're moving mad yesterday.
He's not gonna remember you. He's like, nah, bro, trust me, he remembers me. And I'm like, bro, he makes people like this on a daily basis. He does not remember you. He's like, bro, watch. He goes up, yo, Rashad, hustle of everything. And he's like, thank you. I'm like, yo, Isaac's dying.
Tug. He said thank you.
He said thank you. And then me kind of like, damn, we told you. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, and then the second time with 19, right? So we do the interview with Rashad. You guys probably heard it by now. Mm-hmm. We go to 19. So we get 19. I got a good spot. And then I'm like, yo, 19, it's me. Yo, 24/7 hustler, right? He just like gives me this like stare. He's just like, all right, well, what you guys want to talk about, man? Doesn't even acknowledge anything. And that's when I knew. I'm like, you know, Owen, you're not that guy. You're not that guy, O. You're not that guy. You guys seen that meme? You're not that guy,
pal. You're not that guy, pal.
Trust me. He's like, and you? Absolutely. When he asked him, are you that guy? He's like, absolutely.
Don't kill me, man.
Bruh.
Yeah.
That's when I knew there's levels to this, man.
There's levels to this. That's for
like,
sure.
Like, for a man to, like, not... For you to have a conversation... And for them not to remember you, even face, like, bro, don't remember my name, but face. That's what I'm like, okay.
Now you gotta remember, these people are meeting people like politicians, like hundreds of people on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying? So you really have to have something that separates you, you know, continuously. So it's not just, lots of people dye their hair and do all types of things so they're memorable, you know? Because, yeah.
Do I look memorable to you?
No.
I look like a regular dude, eh?
Regular dude.
Regular bloke in Toronto. Regular dude.
I think to keep it a buck with you, I think your forehead helps. Like, you be memorable. I'll keep it a buck. Your forehead helps, you be memorable. Because I'm like, yes, the dude with the forehead is probably Kenyan. You know what I'm saying? Like, remember when you met Webby and he's like, Kenyan? And you're like, how'd you know? I'm sorry. But. Other than that,
my forehead, it shines bright like a diamond, eh?
Like a diamond, you know. Jeez. So I think, but same for me too, though. Like I'm not saying like I'm special.
Like your forehead's big.
I have a big forehead too.
Isaac, big nose. Does he have a big forehead?
For sure. Put your hand up. Bro, listen. I have all four, and I can fit like a thumb in there too. I have a five head. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. Look at you spreading out your fingers on it.
Bro, you know what happened, bro? I think as I got older, man, my lineup just, my hairline just went back, fam. I'm like, yo, I thought I, because I'm looking young.
Nah, bro, I saw your baby pictures.
Same thing?
Say you've been had a big forehead, bro.
Bro, like, this is why I should play soccer, bro. Those headers, what a winning crazy. I'd be winning every header.
You were winning every, I thought you were saying it went crazy, like you couldn't control it.
No, I'd be winning everything.
Oh, so you're just jumping ahead of
hands. Yeah, bro, that cranium is tough.
Got you. But yeah, bro, honestly though, like I think I can't remember the author's name, but he has authored the book called Purple Cow. You know? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Seth Godin.
Seth Godin, thank you.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the reason why he wrote the book to have those things that stand out, you know. Mm-hmm. And we don't have those as yet in terms of like physical.
Yeah, bro.
You know? When you're a politician, many people consistently, like, I don't think we have that kind cachet, of
because we're not like tall. We're not like jacked.
I don't think it doesn't have to be anything like that. It could be like your hair, your shirt, your color, the way you dress, something like that. Like we're not, you know, wearing bright yellow. You know what I'm saying?
So like we have tats on our face.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's kind of the differentiator, you know. But overall though, it was really good. You know, one thing that wasn't on the video is that I spoke to Troy's wife about podcasting as like at that level. And what it takes for a woman, you know?
Especially as with kids too. I think he has two boys, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure exactly how much kids he has. I have no idea.
I think I've seen it was like IG, like on some lives and stuff. Like the boys, him and I think Rashad's, because Rashad has like one son, and like they're all together. So I'm like, oh yeah, like
that's dope.
So it's good to bring the kids together.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, she really gave me some game on. Like the relationship side of being a podcast wife, that was really interesting, you know.
Bro, that's just listen to what you said, bro. Podcaster's wife.
Yeah.
Like, when has that ever been classified like that? Because usually it's like you're your NBA player's wife, you're an NFL player's wife, but not you're a podcaster's wife. As if these guys are like, I know these guys are on a different level, but
yeah,
podcasters. When's a wife ever in trouble?
In trouble? It's not in trouble,
but like, when do they ever feel the strain of being a podcaster's wife?
Bro, what? Stop it.
No, dog.
There's a ton of strain.
Dog.
Are you kidding me?
To like, as an athlete level?
Yes. Okay. Maybe not athlete. Okay, athlete is dramatic. But there's a...
but the way to frame at that level, podcaster's wife.
Continuous traveling, you know, content, subject matter.
Everything is content.
Yeah, like there's so much things that could cause strain in a relationship, you know? And that was actually their point of that, like... They were lucky because they had built a foundation before. So the question I was asking about looking for a woman that could be, she didn't know what to say because she already
knew Troy
before they grew everything. Up. You know what I'm saying? So it was really interesting getting that point. And like, all right, so what's the best way to kind of go about it? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
what'd she say?
She said what they said. So she already had that groundwork.
Yeah.
And that framework from time, so they already had a base, so it would have been a lot more difficult if they had just came together as their he was ascending, you know. But luckily they had that, so it was a lot easier, you know. I kind of compare it to like Duval and Kadeen, where they already went through their trials and tribulations before they blew up, so they could handle it because
that's true.
The boat was anchored down.
How do you think your wife will handle it when
that's a good question, bro. I think at this point, she's probably going to have to come in knowing what's happening. So it's going to be more of like, I'm hopping on the boat mm-hmm. versus like seeing the boat take off.
You know what you're signing up for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's what I think is going to happen, bro.
Yeah. Do you want to be big as these guys? Because these guys are celebs now.
Yeah, they're celebs. Like, they're signed to like, you know, Hollywood companies, things of that nature. I think there's a good lane. Matter of fact, in Rashad's script, he was talking about how there's a big lane for what they do here. And I do agree that there is a big opportunity here, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a land grab right
now. Yeah. And even like with speaking with Troy too, like when we told him we're podcasters, he tested us to see how serious we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how many episodes you got?
Mm-hmm.
Like 170. We said 168 at the time, but mm-hmm. got 170 now, 171. And I think that's when the demeanor he had was like respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You felt that?
Yeah, I felt it too. Yeah.
It's like respect. And mm-hmm. like when we're asking for an interview, it's like, okay, you know what? These guys are
consistent. Yeah.
So I want to give them their just due by giving them. And he was super present. Mm-hmm. Guys, you probably just heard the whole Troy interview. Those answers he gave, he was very present. He gave us his time. He wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And as guys who are like on the come up, like we're building to, that is worth a lot, mm-hmm. you know, especially when guys you're looking up to, like, man, like you guys are killing it
mm-hmm.
for them to like, for him to drop game, give us like the backstory and everything, man. Like that was what's up, bro.
Shout out to them for sure. Yeah. Shout out to Troy.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. Yo. So you're pretty much wrapping up, man. Let us know your thoughts. What do you think of the quick interview, the little mini chat, you know, and what do you think of the episode today? Leave your comments down below. And let us know.
Yes, sir.
With that being said, the hustle is what you can't control. So control your grind and control your life. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ono Sinde.
See you next week, y'all.